Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another exciting episode of Discussions with Delia Farquharson. Delia is a licensed social worker and experienced life coach, dedicated to helping you achieve your goals and become your better self. She specializes in helping others identify the connections between their thoughts, feelings, and actions. Welcome, Delia.
Good evening, and it's really good to be back. It seems like we've been off the air for quite a while, even though it's been like maybe 2 or 3 weeks. But it's good to be back, and who can believe that the summer has really gone so quickly? Like, it's almost the end of August, and the summer has flown by. So, thank you for joining us for another episode of Discussions with Delia. I am Delia Farquharson. And before we launch into our discussion for this evening, let me welcome my guest co-host, my awesome husband, Raymond. Hi, Raymond.
Hi, Delia.
So, dear, it's been a while. It's been a while since we've been on the air, and so many things have happened since we've been off the air. So many things have happened. We've had, you know, that chokehold death in Staten Island. We've had the stuff in Ferguson, Missouri. And we've had the unfortunate death of Robin Williams at his own hands due to suicide as a result of his depression that he struggled with for so long. And so, you know, it's been a difficult few weeks. What say you? How have you been?
I'm much better, thank you.
Much better from what?
I am much, much better. Let's just leave it at that.
So, you know, one of the things that I've been doing for, I would say maybe a year now, is I go to wherever there are seniors, health fairs or senior programs, and I make a presentation on the existence of depression in older adults. And it's something that I, when I started to talk about depression, like I said, you know, about a year ago, I was doing it because the statistics are really alarming in terms of how older adults are impacted by depression. Large numbers. And often, the sad thing is that because people are getting older, then they might think it's a sign of aging, or it's memory problem, or it's dementia, so that the depression itself can be masked by all these other conditions that may be associated with old age. So I think it's particularly important to be on the lookout for depression in older adults. So,
okay.
You know, it's just something that I think that the medical community is not very aware of and needs to be very aware of. And, you know, one of the surprising things is the association, for example, with surgery, between surgery and depression.
Really?
Particularly heart surgery.
Heart surgery?
Yeah. So, you know, yeah, it's really, I mean,
I know there's I don't know the statistic, but there's an association between hip fracture and not making it out of that nursing home.
Yeah, right?
You know, so breaking your hip, especially at a certain age and beyond, it's associated with, you know, going for rehab and never leaving.
Right, right.
So I'm sure that's the depression. But heart surgery is not.
Yeah.
But I think, but we all have older adults in our lives, parents, grandparents, and so on. Is it more common than we realize that folks are, you know, they're more depressed, folks that we actually know, people suffering from varying degrees of depression? And in that context, then, what are some of the things then that, and I'm sure it varies from person to person, but are there some just strong indicators of, you know, that we're looking for, that gives us a sense of it might not be depression, but at least it's worth looking into or paying attention to.
Yeah.
You know, where, you know, as you said, we sometimes associate things with just old age or a certain age, or that's just how the person is, you know, where we're not looking beyond.
Right, to see whether it's clinical.
Right.
And I think that's
and
why.
And part of it, we don't want to think that because as a member of our family, we don't have anybody in our family who has depression, so
right.
Or mental illness.
Right, the stigma.
Right.
So, you know, so I think that having the discussion, and, you know, particularly because older folks in our family have experienced usually a lot of losses. They've lost a spouse. Hopefully they haven't lost any children, but sometimes that happens. And depression can really take root. So, you know, everybody feels sad or hopeless or, you know, helpless sometimes. But if this is happening to you and you're feeling this way most of the time,
mm-hmm.
and you're not taking any pleasure in any of your usual activities,
mm-hmm.
then, and your functioning is affected, you're eating, you're sleeping, you know, how you're functioning in your daily life, this may be depression. So, that you know, in terms of understanding what depression is, you know, that's the working description that we will go with, is that if you are sad most of the time, you're taking no pleasure in anything.
But sorry to interrupt, but if, as you said, you've lost your spouse, you have lost a child, God forbid, those type of things. You have gotten older. Most people who are your friends are no longer here. They have no past or some variation or degree of all of the above. Is it expected that you would be sad? Is it expected that you would be withdrawn some? I mean, granted, yes.
But not to the degree where it's impacting your functioning, or not to the degree where that's your normal, where that you are sad and withdrawn and isolated most of the time, because that's not normal functioning. So if that's happening, then that's where we identify that there may be a problem.
Mm-hmm. But I think then it's the family members might not be as quick to identify
right.
as a condition. They might say, well, he or she...
She's old.
Yeah, let them be, you know. She lost her son a year ago. She, you know, her husband died 2 years ago. His whatever happened. You know, so it's... We make allowance for it, I think, for folks to be sad, be withdrawn because of what they have suffered.
Again, we go back to... That's okay for you to experience sadness. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's prolonged and that is the usual state that the person is in, then that's what makes it atypical. That's what makes it a problem.
But we might even actually feel that we're going to make it worse by trying to live. So, oh, boy, he or she must be depressed. Because, you know, we don't want to think that, I think. And to label them as such or ascribe that and saying, well, maybe you should see someone.
Right.
I think those things are triggers. To say, I think you should talk to a professional. I think you should see someone for, you know, I think you might be depressed.
Right, but
might not be seen as being helpful.
Right, but and it may not be helpful.
Mm.
So you could just be, you could, for example, say instead, I'm concerned that you seem so sad all the time.
But I just lost my son. I'm supposed to be sad.
Yeah, but you know what? It's been 4 years.
Okay. It's taken me a while to get over it.
Right, but what I'm saying is, so just understanding that, okay, yeah, you're going to cry, and it may never heal fully, and that's okay. But understanding that if your usual state of affair is just total sadness and hopelessness and helplessness and withdrawn, and you're sleeping all the time or you're not eating, that may be a problem. So, you know, so some people may have some consistent or persistent level of sadness. And that may be the new normal, and that's okay. but understanding the difference about how it's impacting your functioning, and if that's all you're doing, then that may be the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that, you know, having that clarification is really important.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there are different kinds of depressions, and I won't get into that. But what are some of the signs of depression, right? What are some of the signs of depression? You know, the empty, sad feeling, like we just talked about, the feelings of hopelessness, or for some, particularly in men, it may come out or show as irritability. You know, you could also display feelings of guilt or anxiousness. No interest in or little interest in your usual activities. Tired feeling, pain also could be associated with depression. Not being able to concentrate or remember details. And again, that may be one of those symptoms where they say, Lord, you're getting older. Right? Not being able to sleep or sleeping too much, overeating or not eating at all. Thoughts of suicide, which is another thing that is really important. And then the aches and the pains, the headache,
tell
the
me,
cramps, and the digestive
can we just,
problems.
As you brought
suicide.
Robin Williams, no, you said thoughts of suicide. And I don't know.
Or suicide attempt.
Okay. Let's go back to thoughts of suicide, because suicide attempts then kind of tells the story. When folks in that state, or folks historically, have thoughts of suicide, do they typically, do you think, share that with others? Because until they share it, it doesn't really,
you know what?
It's like the tree, no one heard the tree fall, but we don't know that you have those thoughts.
Right.
Unless
no,
you have attempted
often,
it or shared it.
Often people don't like to talk about that they're having thoughts of suicide.
Right. I would
and
think
the
so.
Unfortunate thing is that family members see, like, if they bring it up, then they might be introducing it or...
I never thought about it.
Right, you know, or encouraging it.
Mm.
But it's really important to have that honest discussion, because if you can get someone to talk about that they're feeling that way, that may be able to diffuse some of those feelings, and then you're better able to access the help that may be necessary.
So you're saying it's okay if not even...
It's encouraged.
It's encouraged to say... Have you thought about suicide?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it is.
Hmm.
It's really important, because you're not going to, chances are if you ask somebody that and they haven't been thinking about suicide, what they're going to say is, no, of course not.
Are you crazy?
They're not going to say, oh, no, I never think about that.
Let me
think about
that.
Now. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not going to encourage somebody to start thinking about it just because you asked that question. But if somebody's thinking about it and you can encourage them to talk about it, chances are it might do some good.
Say, yeah,
yeah,
I have had thoughts about it.
So it's really important.
But then, okay, then let's follow that path. Because, I am representing your typical family, you know, to you from your perspective, obviously, from a professional sense. But I have now asked you, you're sad, you're withdrawn, you know, you're not your usual self, you don't participate as much. I recognize and know that there's something. Maybe the harder one is when you can't identify a reason why that person is withdrawn, why that person is sad. There's no obvious trauma,
mm-hmm.
right? But you have not asked them if they've considered. Then should you not then be prepared for that conversation potentially that could follow that? And don't you then have some responsibility to speak to that person in a responsible way?
What do you mean?
I have now asked you, you've considered suicide, and you say, yes, you know?
So you just encourage them to talk
right,
about what,
yeah,
the feelings.
What is it that I'm supposed to be
yeah,
saying?
Yeah, the feelings
that.
Associated with that. Well, you're not going to try to treat them, because
no,
unless
I'm not
you're
saying
trained
that
in that.
Because
but
saying,
what
yes.
you want them to do is to say, kind of like, tell me about that. Tell me, how come you've been having those thoughts, or you are having those thoughts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then to kind of try to introduce, well, maybe seeing that you're having those thoughts, maybe we should find somebody to talk to, or maybe we should find somebody who can help. Because you know what, people, it's not terrible if somebody has those thoughts, it's when they don't get help.
Okay.
Right.
So then that should be used as the opportunity to introduce
right.
the idea
yeah,
of
getting
help,
of seeking help.
Because the idea of committing suicide is
it's
one.
It's a serious sign.
It is a
serious sign. So what causes depression, right? There are many things or different things that cause depression. And some of them, they start with the brain, with the genes, right? that people who with a family history of depression are likely to become depressed themselves.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
You know, so that's what the research indicates, right? So older adults who have depression when they were younger are more likely to develop depression when they're older, right? Then brain chemistry. The chemistry of the brain may be different in people who are depressed. So, you know, stress.
Okay.
So the loss, we talked about the death of someone, a difficult relationship, all these losses. As people get older, they lose their home, they lose their autonomy, they lose their independence, they lose a lot of things. So there's a lot of loss associated with getting older. And with that may come the feelings of depression. So understanding that, you know, somebody who's meeting these changes in their lives may develop sadness is really important. All right? So, and what we talked about before, that depression can also occur with medical illness. Diabetes, cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, all these things can contribute to depression in older people, in older folks. And medication can have side effects for depression. So, you know,
okay.
I think that's really important. So, you know, I mean, a part of it is, you talked about it before, the stigma. That, you know, everybody feels sad at some point. And the fact is that there's no shame in feeling sad or being diagnosed with depression. There's no shame in that. We need to encourage folks to seek help, to seek out the help that they need and to recognize that they may need help. So, you know, in terms of particularly with our older adults.
Mm. Right.
So, how is depression treated? Because we think about Robin Williams. He had coexisting conditions because he was dependent on substances, alcohol,
mm-hmm.
and he had the depression. And the sad thing about it is that depression is a you know, alcohol is a depressant, right? Alcohol causes, you know, can encourage the state of depression because once the high wears off, then you're left in a depressed state. And so understanding that, you know, even though he's had all these many visits to rehab,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he was not able to overcome, you know, his bouts of alcoholism.
Mm-hmm. And I'm sure those, I would surmise based on what you saw in the news and what people who knew him, it wasn't a secret that he'd seek help or whatever that ailed him. So what it really says is that, you know, the total answer does not just lie in seeking help. It doesn't stick.
No.
Alone. There's a whole other part to it. The person who is depressed, the family and the network and the structure,
right.
and the friendships and the, so on, that plays a role. So
right, yeah, because when you think about it, right, he probably had all the resources.
Sure he did.
Right? And he had a loving family, a beautiful wife. He had
Well, that's not a truth.
That
his family was loving.
But
okay, he had a family.
It seemed like, you know, well, I'm sure that the papers, the scandal papers, would have gotten something.
Sure.
You know, but it seemed like he had a decent family.
Right. So, right, and he didn't need anything. So, I guess he's an example of saying, well, you know, depression is not, you know, it's not biased. It doesn't
discriminate.
It doesn't discriminate. And having all the money in the world or having all the resources in the world is not the answer.
Yeah.
Seeking help is only part of it, you know. And I guess it varies from person to person where what kept him there? Why couldn't he go beyond whatever caused his depression or caused his addictions and so on. You know, what kept him there year after year after year.
Right.
You know, so...
And we find out after his death that he was just diagnosed with Parkinson's.
Ah, okay.
Right? So we find out after his death that he was diagnosed with Parkinson's.
So that probably even...
Right.
That didn't help the depression, did
it?
Right.
You know, it didn't.
Mm.
So, you know, you wonder with this medical condition he had had over the last couple of years, he'd had major heart surgery.
Mm. Ah, hence the heart surgery.
So, you know, it seemed like he met more than multiple criteria for the depression.
Perfect storm.
Yeah, you know. And I don't know what kind of therapy he was in terms of what kind of, you know, professional support he had. I know he's been to rehab. But when you think about it, you know, when somebody goes to kill themselves, I don't know if he'd had multiple attempts, you know, if he had attempted to commit suicide before. Perhaps he has. Because usually when people commit suicide, it's not the first attempt.
Really?
Yeah.
You don't do, typically you don't do it the first time.
Right. You know, you make some other kinds of attempts. And then you wonder, too, you know, what was he like just before he, you know, what led up to that? You know, what was going on with him? Was he in an elated mood, you know, which you tend to see for somebody who's contemplating suicide? So what was going on in terms of, you know, with Robin Williams before he died?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important, though, to understand that, you know, that, and I think this is the takeaway, that depression is not a normal part of growing older.
Mm-hmm.
And that people who are older and who display signs of depression ought to seek help.
Yeah.
You know, and that medical health professionals should be looking out for those signs and really paying attention, because more often than not, an older person is going to see a medical provider, not necessarily a mental health provider.
So this goes to treating the whole person rather than
just
the symptom that you see presented.
Yeah. So, you know, older adults, like we said, are at increased risk for depression, right? So I think the thing for caregivers and for family members is to really have, one, educate yourself about what depression is and what that looks like, and then two, you know, to have the conversation, you know, heartfelt conversation with older folks about what's going on with them and how they're feeling. We just had that health fair over the weekend, and there was a woman who came up to me who told me about a 95-year-old relative that committed suicide.
95?
Yeah. And she had another older adult living with her, and she said she took down the heavy shower curtain rod in the bathroom because she was afraid, right? So, you know, when you think about the statistics, you know.
I never would have thought that a 95-year-old person would commit suicide.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. The incidence, the statistics about depression in older adults, it's really high. You know, it's very high, you know, when you think about statistics of suicide in people over 65, say.
Right. And I guess with people living longer, you know, it prolongs, I guess it's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah.
In terms of you're here longer and you'll relive. And I guess the tendency over time is that as you get older, there are less and less interaction around you, less and less people around you, less and less people that you relate to. You become more and more isolated. Amazing.
Yeah, and that's and I think, you know, you're right. So the chances are that you might have reasons to be sad or depressed increases the longer you live. You know, you have more losses, right?
Right.
So, you know, I think that I was trying to find some statistics about about depression, but it's really high in terms of, you know, in terms of the numbers. So, what's the takeaway? I think the takeaway is to, one, really be aware. We're all at risk for depression. I mean, you know, times are difficult. So even if you're not older and you're not, you haven't suffered a lot of losses. People, you know, are becoming more isolated and have other problems. But in particular for older adults, we want to make sure that we're reaching out, that we're maintaining contact, that we're asking the appropriate questions, and that when they go to see their medical providers, that those medical providers are doing some kind of assessment.
Including that part of it in their care. So what is it then? Just one quick question as you brought that up. So folks who are taking their mothers and grandmothers and so on to their doctors, what is it that we should then kind of raise our hands and say to the doctor? What is it that, even if there's nothing truly going on, but just to make sure that it gets asked or something gets
I think you would raise it with the doctor if you have an area of concern. So is mom not eating or is dad not sleeping, right?
Well, then they possibly, we could prolong this bit, but they might start chasing something else now. You know, let's get a CAT scan to find out why you're not eating. Let's put the tube down
and
the throat.
And that's how, you know, that's true. But unless there are other symptoms that would indicate that.
So I guess I say that to say this, because physicians in the same context could just sidestep the whole thing and turn it into something else, rather than understanding that, is there something beyond the physical that is happening? Because the minute you give them a potential symptom, it's something else to change, a physical thing to fix, you know, and I think that is part of the problem.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, you know, always when it comes to mental health conditions, we always have to rule out the presence or the, you know, of any medical condition before we start to treat mental health conditions. But if you have concerns about, you know, the functioning of the individual, person is not sleeping or sleeping too much, eating too much or not eating at all, just, you know, I mean, appear really sad and hopeless, start to give away the things or start to say goodbye or calling up all their relatives or sending, you know, if you see those kinds of signs, and those are things that should cause you to be concerned and to reach out to some professionals to say, I think mom or dad needs some help. So, you know, I think, you know, just having the conversation about depression becomes really helpful. Really, really helpful. So, you know, I want to encourage folks to get informed about depression. It's a, you know, it's a really prevalent condition, and to really become informed about it so that you can adequately support your family members who may have such a diagnosis. So until next time.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Discussions with Delia. Check us out on the web at discussionswithdelia.com and like our Facebook page, Discussions with Delia. Please follow me on Twitter at Discussion Delia. Thank you again for listening. Peace and bliss.